Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Clean your room. You heard me talk about it with the children briefly. Just like God answers prayer requests in three ways, yes, no, and wait, strangely enough, children, I'm an experienced parent, tend to answer that direction, clean your room, in one of three ways. Yes, my loving parent. And then I roll my eyes and wonder what they want. But at the same time, it might be just an obedient child, because it does happen. And then you trust but verify that the room has been cleaned. No is an answer I don't think any child in their right mind just outright says no to such a direction. But I think their favorite one is wait. Just wait. Please let me finish. Fill in the blank. My homework, my TV show, etc., etc. As soon as I finish that project. You see, that wait, any parent with their salt knows, is a ruse. It's a ruse. Once mom and dad are distracted, then I can go and close the door and be on about my business. Out of sight, out of mind. Let me bury my father. His father wasn't dead. Let me bid farewell. Jesus sees these wait ploys for what they are. Don't call me, I'll call you sorts of things. In our gospel text today, the time is drawing near. Holy Week is coming. Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans, a man, to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. So the people of Samaria could see that Jesus was preoccupied, set his face like a flint. He was headed towards Jerusalem. They didn't care too much for the Jews or the city of Jerusalem. So they were not concerned too much with this guy who was headed that direction, whose face was set to go there. Now, when the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven to consume them? Whoa, cool your jets. That's a little harsh, don't you think? To be sure, not receiving someone in the first century and violating hospitality laws is a big deal. But raining fire, Sodom and Gomorrah style, on those violators, maybe a bit much. Definitely rude, even shameful. But calling fire down from heaven. And this request is coming from Jesus' disciples, because they don't like Samaritans. You think the Hatfields and McCoys have a thing? In the first century, Samaritans and Jews have been going at it for 1,000 years. Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. And part of rooting for your own team or your own tribe also tends to include rooting against and or rooting for the failure of those who you are against. But just because sinners take pleasure in the failure of their enemies, just because we take pleasure in the failure or demise of those we consider to be our enemies, does not mean Jesus did not bleed and die for them as well. We are to pray for our enemies, a direct command from Jesus. We are to pray for our enemies. Not just pray for them, but for their health and well-being. And you can't pray for someone's health and well-being while you're rooting for their demise. That's really hard to do. Even if you are cheering when they fail, if you are cheering when they are gunned down, you're calling God to rain Sodom and Gomorrah-style fire upon them. Every one of your neighbors, both near and far, immediate family, co-workers, fellow students, fellow members of this congregation, are people for whom you should be praying, and definitely not rooting for any of their demise. You see, when one suffers, all connected to that one suffer as well. The whole family, the whole class, the whole work environment. Yes, and your fellow members in your church would suffer as well. Jesus turns to them, just as he turns to us to rebuke us when we seek the demise of those that God calls us to pray for. So after this turn of events, they went to another village. And Jesus had three brief conversations that are summarized for us. One says, I will follow you wherever you go. To another, he said, follow me. Yet another, I will follow you, Lord. Even though the three responses that he gives are basically saying the same thing, taking up your cross and following me is going to be hard. Foxes have their holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Those who take up their cross and follow me will live in transient, uncomfortable, unsheltered lives. Taking up your cross and following me will be hard. The man standing before you and speaking was once an 11-year-old Roman Catholic boy. And strangely enough, the first cross he was given to bear connects him to the Lutheran faith and connects him to this congregation. We were headed on Interstate 26, getting ready to be sent to Portsmouth Naval Shipyard when my father was being stationed. And a drunk was going the wrong way on the interstate, and my mother died in the accident. Now, there's two names that maybe those of you who've been here for a long time may recognize them, but they haven't been here for a long time. Their names were Carter Henson and Martha Newman. I know the last names might be familiar to some of you. Well, they were both from First Lutheran in Knoxville, and this naval dentist basically retired in Metairie, Louisiana. And after my mother died and we were sent to live in the suburb of New Orleans, my father met their daughter, and they got married, and that marriage is why I'm a Lutheran, because they came from here. They were Lutherans. But I can tell you that that cross, like all the crosses that we bear in life, while they might seem difficult at the time, they might connect us to something important. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Those who take up their cross and follow me will have a life separate, away from friends and loved ones. Take up your cross and follow me. It'll be hard. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Both of these answers that he really is harsh toward are those wait answers that have a long connected time of space that maybe you'll forget your request. Those who take up their cross and follow me cannot wait till the timing is right for them. They must respond according to God's perfect timing. Taking up your cross and following me will be hard. We cannot put it off and hope that God will be distracted and we can not quietly close the door and hope he'll forget about it. Do you remember what happened to that guy named Jonah? When he said no, he spent some time in the belly of a fish and he did what God told him to do. even while rooting for the demise of those he was called to pray for and preach to. Instead of his God says no to him, just like the diligent parent says no to the child who says, wait, no, stop what you're doing and go and clean your room now. No, says the Father in heaven, stop rooting for the demise of your enemies and start praying for them now. No, says the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, stop worrying about your creature comforts and give sacrificially for the spreading of the gospel. No, says the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, your spouse, your children, your parents. They are important, but your God is the most important on that list. They are behind him in priority. Spend time in prayer with him. Spend time receiving the gifts he gives you of word and sacrament. No, says the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, your friends, your priorities, all take a back seat to the gospel. Taking up your cross and following me is hard. No, says the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world, you are not to worry. Trust in me. I claimed you in the waters of holy baptism. No, says the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, you are not to be anxious, not to worry. Trust in me. I paid for that absolution that is spoken over you by my representative every time he says it. No, says the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, you are not to worry. Trust in me. Take, eat, take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, says the obedient child of God, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.